Now that Russia has seized control in southern Ukraine, we have some of the geoeconomics this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Germany's leader is indicating this morning that the crisis in Ukraine can still be resolved by political means. An aide to Angela Merkel today says Germany has proposed to Russia's president sending what's labeled as a fact-finding mission to the Crimean Peninsula, where Russia's military is now in control without a fight. Ian Bremmer is president and founder of the Eurasia Group, a consultancy that uses political scientists to advise international businesses and financial players. Ian, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, David.
Now, the way you see the developing situation in the Crimea and more widely in Ukraine, Russia has vastly more interest in that region than the U.S., but even Europe?
Vastly more. Ukraine is the most important national security interest that Putin has. Nothing that is remotely on the agenda for the Americans and Europeans in terms of punishment for the Russians would make Putin remotely consider, okay, now I'm going to move out of Crimea. They badly miscalculated this one.
But Europe, for sure, has key strategic interests in the region, and a lot of the natural gas flows through Ukraine on the way to Europe.
That's certainly true, and of course, it's true both ways. The gas originally comes from Russia, so the Europeans need the Russians. This is one of the reasons why you see the Germans now much more tentative about supporting removal of Russia from the G8 than Kerry. And I can't imagine the Germans would support any significant sanctions. The Italians wouldn't either. It would be very hard to get any coordinated response here.
You do have an escalation of tensions with what at first feels like a Cold War frame. That could change economic and business relationships with Russia, from Russia. It's a level of rhetoric we haven't seen for quite some time.
I think the real issue is that Russia has just been a less attractive place to invest generally. You see the breathtaking amount of corruption in Russia, the brain drain, the capital flight. You see the lack of economic growth. And it's quite likely that America is going to grow at a higher clip in 2014 than Russia is. I mean, why would you invest in an emerging market over the United States if the U.S. doesn't just have more stability, but it's also giving you a better return? Russia's become a difficult argument for big multinationals of late.
Ian Bremmer is president of the Eurasia Group based in New York. Ian, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Now let's stay with the story in the Ukraine by doing the numbers. As tensions simmer in Ukraine, the German government bond is seen as a safe haven for some capital, and those bonds are indeed up this morning. Same logic at work with the U.S. 10-year Treasury, which is up, bringing its yield down to 2.6% right now. Stocks, London's FT 100 index is down 1.8%. Germany's DAX index is down 2.9%. The Dow future is down about 0.8%, with S&P and NASDAQ futures down about 1.1% at the moment. What we're about to tell you about is testing in Europe, but it offers lessons for American cities. One well-known global charity has come up with an idea which it believes could help financially struggling people find places to live in many of the world's cities. The BBC's Mike Johnson has been taking a look.
It's a cold, grey winter's day here in Walthamstow in East London. Not what you'd call an affluent district of the British capital, this. Right in front of me is an example of what could be the future of urban living for people on a low income. And it's made of corrugated steel.
As you can see, it's a normal shipping container that's come from China, and we've cut a door into the side.
Tim Payne is chief executive of the local YMCA here.
And here we are inside. We've got a single bed, shower at the end, and bathroom, TV, microwave.
Tim Payne is calling the whole idea MyPad. He dreamed it up during a previous life as an anti-apartheid campaigner in the South African township of Soweto.
I spent nearly 10 years in shanty communities, living in what's called makukus, which are corrugated iron boxes.
The containers cost just over $30,000 to buy and convert.
We have got an economic problem in London, in that young people who are fortunate enough to gain employment, it's at a very low rate. It's at minimum wage, about $200 a week. So the smallest, tattiest, dirtiest shared room with some rogue landlord is about $150 a week. That leaves you not even enough money to go to work.
The rent on one of his containers will be $100 a week. The first keys will be handed to tenants in April.
My name is Ken Biro. I'm 26 years old. I've tried to find a place before. Even renting a studio is hard because everything is too much.
Ken has been both homeless and jobless recently. Now, though, he's found work, and it looks like the next roof over his head will be made from corrugated steel.
Does it matter that it's an old shipping container? Does that bother you?
Accommodation is accommodation. Before I came here, I was on the streets.
In London, I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
And actress Kate Blanchett supplied the business angle herself last night when accepting the Oscar for Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Perhaps those of us in the industry who are still foolishly clinging to the idea that that female films with women at the centre are niche experiences, they are not. Audiences want to see them, and in fact, they earn money. So.
In Blue Jasmine, Blanchett portrays the descent of a woman who once lived the high life married to what turned out to be a world-class financial scam artist. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.